second. I'll be reading from Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, Why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, did it not remain thine own? After it was sold, why was it not thy power? How is it thou hast conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came up all of that heard it. And the young men arose and wrapped him around and carried him and buried him. And it was about a space of 3 hours after, then his wife, not knowing what has done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me what you have done with the land. And she said, Nay, not so much. But Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to try the Spirit of the Lord? Behold the feet of them who have buried thy husband at the door. And they carried three out, and she fell down immediately at his feet and gave up the ghost. And the women and the men came and carried her out dead, and they carried her and buried her by her husband. And then there was great fear that came upon the whole church.
Good morning. Isn't it a beautiful spring morning? After a pretty rain, everything is green and finally growing. Whew, I like it. I like it. For those of you who are visiting, welcome. We're glad that you're with us. We want to invite you back. We're just glad everybody is here this morning. Really feel like I owe you an apology this morning. When we started our service, there were 60 of us. There's 122 now. We started on time, which is really unusual, and I apologize, and we won't let that happen again. But we are proud that all of you have joined us. We had such a great time Friday night honoring mothers, and thanks to everybody who helped put that together. Josh, I know you did the lion's share of that work, and that was a really nice time. I think the kids had a good time, and we enjoyed just being together and enjoyed that time. So I hope very much that you enjoyed that. And this Wednesday night, I know we don't have all that many announcements, Nathan, but I'll make one. Wednesday night, we're going to honor our graduates, of which we have six graduating from high school to nursing school, which is wonderful. I have to share with you, Carl graduated and Karen graduated from Lipscomb yesterday, and there were three students from Milton that graduated from Lipscomb yesterday. So I figure, as a percentage of the population, we graduated more from Lipscomb than any other community in the world. So that was nice. Congratulations to them. And I want to give a special congratulations because it really hit home yesterday. This gentleman graduated who had just some children at home. And so they were yelling, you know, for daddy. They were small. And I heard the mom say, you'll get to see dad this summer, because, you know, he'd obviously been working. So I really want to congratulate Keith for finishing nursing school with the children and family and working and all those things. It's a great accomplishment for all of them. But Keith, I know that's been a real dedication. Congratulations to you. That's quite an accomplishment. We're proud for you. And I know your family will be glad to see you again. And if you own stocks in the coffee companies, you might want to sell, because there might not be as much coffee consumed as there had been before. But it is a great time. We're going to honor our grads this Wednesday night and hope that you'll come and be a part of that, because that is an accomplishment to set out and achieve, to set a goal and then to achieve it is a wonderful thing. This morning, we read about Ananias and Sapphira. And just prior to this, to kind of set the tone for Luke going into this, he kind of reiterates what we see in Acts 2, where they were selling possessions. It says nobody among the church lacked for anything, that everybody's needs were being met, and those who had the capacity, those who had the capability, were selling homes, were selling lands, and were bringing it and laying it at the apostles' feet, and they were distributing it to all of those who had need. And so the church was sharing. And kind of before we get into the main part of the lesson, I want to talk about why I think they were were doing this. And the obvious reason is there were people who had financial need, right? And so they were sharing with that. But what did they have in their minds and their hearts that I just think is so important for us as Christians to have? And that is, they had eternity in their hearts. They had eternity in their hearts. They were anxiously and confidently expecting Jesus' return. They were expecting eternity. And so the possessions that they had, they realized were blessings from God, and that those were temporary. And so they were sharing them to get to help folks as they were navigating through this life, because what was coming was so much greater. And you know, for us to really be what God wants us to be, I think one of the things, not only do we have to have faith in God, obviously, and believe not only that He is, but that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, but we have to have eternity in our hearts. Because if I get focused on here and now, I can't have a godly perspective. I just really can't have the nature of God if all I can see is what's temporary, what's not going to last, what's not going to survive. And so I have to have a broader view. And these people had a broader view, and they realized, we're going to help each other through, because this really doesn't matter in the long term. What I own, what I possess, really doesn't matter in the long term. Now, none of this chapter is a condemnation of possessions, but it's just about priorities. I've used this analogy before, but it's just one of those that sticks out. I should probably read more than I read. And every time I read some fiction, there'll be phrases that I pick up and appreciate. I'm just not a big fiction reader. I'm more of a nonfiction reader. But in the first Crocodile Dundee movie, remember? And they're talking about this land he owns, and you know, that was his, and the rocks and all of that stuff. And you know, he just wasn't really concerned about, you know, it had been maybe his uncle's and now it was his, and he didn't seem too concerned about that. And the reporter couldn't understand why he wasn't more concerned about the ownership of this large amount of land. And he said, you know, that's kind of like two fleas arguing over who owns the dog. And that's a wonderful, it's a wonderful saying. It's a wonderful thought that land had been somebody's long before he got there. And if the world continues, it'll be somebody's long after we're gone. And so to get all caught up in that really is kind of futile, isn't it? It's kind of futile. So their thought was, and the folks of the first century, they had eternity in their heart. They knew greater things were coming. They were looking for the fulfillment of the kingdom. And so they were using these possessions to help each other and to bless each other as they look forward to those things that are more important, not just were more important, that are more important. So it's important for us to have eternity in our hearts, to realize that really life is short. I mean, these young people that are graduating today or this week, the next week or two, graduated yesterday. You know, they were just born a year or two ago. You know, I remember them being born, you know, it was just the other day. Now, it doesn't seem like that to them, but it does to us. And I thought, you know, in the time that since Carl was born, I'll just use Carl's example, he was 22. Since Carl was born, that just seems like the other day. Well, in that period of time going forward, I'll be 74 years old in 22 more years. You can do the math. It's okay. I know I look bad for 52. But, you know, that just seems odd to think how quickly that time is gone. At 74, I may or may not be here. That's not, but I mean, at that point, life will have changed even more. And that seems like such a short time. So we get so caught up in the things of here and now, when we have to realize, even with the small perspective we have, how very quickly it goes. And so the folks of the first century realized that Jesus was returning, that life with God is eternal, and that the things of this life, while the way we live is important, but the possessions that we have are not. They're not what should define us, nor do they really matter. And so they were selling what they had, and they were giving to those who had in need. Now, so we come to Ananias and Sapphira. And I just want to ask you questions. As Trey read that for us, what's this story about? You get to, I'm still going to preach the sermon I got prepared, so. What's this story about? In a broad view. Is it about money? It's really not. Is it about giving? It's really not. It's really not about giving. It's not about money. It's not about giving. That's really not what this is about. That's what they were doing. And as Christians, we shouldn't be embarrassed about that. God has always called His people to give. To give to His work. To give to those who minister. To give to the temple. Okay? To give to the poor. You know, that's always been what God's people do. As the gospel spreading to the Gentiles, and we're going to see that later in the book of Acts, that's one of the things they're going to say. Don't forget the poor. Care for the poor. That's all important. But that's not what this lesson is about. This lesson is about integrity and honesty and being straight with God. That's what this lesson is about. That's what this story is about. That's what these events are about. Now, it manifests itself in their giving. Okay? But let's talk about what they did and what they did wrong. Because it's really not different than the Genesis story of Adam and Eve. With Adam and Eve, it was eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's really the same. It's really the same story. Just the circumstances are different, and the names are different, but the same story. All right. So Ananias and Sapphira, because Joseph, we know others had, but Joseph is mentioned, also called Barnabas, is mentioned that he had brought, and they're bringing their possessions and giving them, lay them at the feet of the apostles. And it seems like they're doing this kind of as needs arise. Not that they necessarily all did it at one time, but as the need arose, that those who could would sell things and bring it to the apostles, and they would distribute that. And you remember, it got to be too big of a job for the apostles. So we're going to see in just a chapter or two how they deal with that. They appointed really what we would say the first deacons that they appointed. We're going to see that very quickly. But they're giving that. So Ananias and Sapphira sell a lot. Sell some property. Were they compelled to sell it? Let's just talk with each other this morning. Were they compelled to sell? Was this something that the apostles said, you got to do this? No. The passage makes it clear. They could have kept it. People were doing that, but they weren't compelled to. It was theirs. It was theirs. They could have sold it or not sold it. So they decided to sell it. And they bring money and lay it at Peter's feet, at the feet of the apostles. Now, what money did they bring? Some of the money from the sale of the property. Was that okay? Yes. They not only were not compelled to sell the property, they chose to. They were not compelled, if they sold the property, to bring all of the proceeds and give it to the apostles. So what's the problem? They brought this gift saying, this is all we got. It was about people seeing them. It was about, here we are. This is what we sold the property for. We're bringing all of it. They could have chosen to bring part of it. They said, we've sold a field. We want to give part of it to help those who are in need. That's fine. Wouldn't have been a problem. Again, this is not about the money part. It's not about the giving. It's about the part that they lied about how much they sold the property for and what they were giving. Okay? They lied. You can dress that up any way you want to. but they lie. And both of them lie because the passage clearly says that Ananias knew and Sapphira knew. Was in full knowledge of what they'd sold the property for and what they were doing. Okay? They could have done what they did, but they lied. And who did they lie to? Well, they lied to the apostles. They lied to the church, but was that the real problem? Who does David in the Psalms, when he talks about the sin that he commits with Bathsheba? That's right. God, against you and you only have I sinned. That's right. Against you, God, have I sinned. And that's exactly the problem with Ananias and Sapphira. They had lied to God. Peter was specific to say, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. You have lied to the Holy Spirit about what you've done. You could have done what you did. Nothing wrong with that, but you have lied about what you have done. You said you gave it all, and you didn't. That's a decision you could make, but you lied about it. And you have lied to God about it. And then he asked the question, and it's a great question. Why in the world did you do that? You know, what compelled you to do that? You know, Satan has entered you to do that. The same thing that happens in the garden, right? Satan tempts Eve, right? He's still out there tempting. But the question, I mean, you could have done what you did. Why did you choose to lie about it? Why did you choose to lie about it? The story is not about giving. It's not about money. And it's also really not, it's not about church discipline, which is a New Testament philosophy. But this is not about church discipline. This is not a decision the apostles made. This is not a decision that the leaders of the church made about how to deal with Ananias and Sapphira. They lied before God, and Ananias dropped dead at the apostles' feet. Does God change? It's really a great question. I'm getting head shake this way. The scripture plainly tells that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, right? Sometimes we read the Old Testament, and it's 39 books, young people. And we read the New Testament, and it's 27 books, and think this is a totally different God. It's exactly the same God. Jesus is God in the flesh, who is no different than he was prior to the creation. Because John makes it very clear that Jesus existed prior to the creation, right? Was involved in the creation, is the Father, has been with the Father, has seen the Father, is the same as the Father. And so when we see Jesus live, it's the same as God did. So the Acts of the Old Testament, the Acts of the New Testament, are the same God who is the same. And so, he's always been a God of mercy. Jonah recognizes that, right? Remember, why did Jonah not want to go to the Ninevites? Because he hated the Ninevites. He prayed for the Ninevites. Prayed they'd go to hell. Now, the scripture doesn't really tell us that, but that's his attitude. And what he says is, I didn't want to go preach to Nineveh because they'd hear and they'd repent. And you wouldn't destroy them. And I wanted them destroyed. Because God was a God of compassion and mercy in the Old Testament, and he is in the New Testament. But God is a God of justice in the Old Testament, and he's a God of justice in the New Testament. That hasn't changed. And so when Ananias lied to God, lied to the Holy Spirit, there was judgment for that. And judgment came immediately on Ananias. That doesn't end with Ananias. Oh, we don't see it as much. But what will Paul write to the Corinthians about the improper way they're taking the Lord's Supper? You remember that? He said, because of the improper way you've taken the Lord's Supper, many of you who have fallen asleep have died. He's not talking about sleeping in church. So ease up. It's okay. If you doze off, it happens. That's why I preach. That's the way I know I'll stay awake. But they had died because they were not following God. We know judgment is coming when the Lord returns. And that's a biblical principle from Genesis to Revelation. And so the lesson here is to be honest with God. We can't hide from God. What did Adam and Eve try to do? Hide from God. You can't do it. We try, but you can't do it. And so Ananias drops dead. Now, this is a little bit of an aside from the main point of the lesson. But I think it's interesting. If somebody dropped dead today, what's the first thing we do? 911, right? And if Ananias was fairly young, they would almost insist that we do an autopsy and they'd come. And it was an attended death, not an unattended death, attended death. So that changes the way we deal with that. But we'd have to get a death certificate and present that to all kind of things and all the things that we do, right? First thing we do is notify the next of kin, right? The news media wouldn't even release who it was, so we had time to notify the next of kin. Well, this is interesting because Ananias drops dead, they take him out and bury him, and his wife doesn't know. Nobody goes and tells her. I just think that's interesting. It'd be very different than it would be today, right? I've always thought that in the Westerns, which are obviously not, Western movies are not all true, but on cattle drives or whatever, when somebody dies, there's no way you can. You just got to bury him, right? So they take him off and bury him. And Sapphira comes 3 hours later to find out what happened because McAllen, it was before cell phones. McAllen and I were talking earlier about cell phones. You know, one of the great things about cell phones is when somebody's running a little bit late, you can find out where they are. Because we used to sit around and worry. Were they in a car accident? Did something happen? Those of you who are young don't know. We used to worry about those things. We used to get in the car and go look for each other. Now you can just call. Well, she couldn't call, so she went because she knew he was going to take some money. And so Peter asked her, is this the sum you got for the field? Luke's already told us she knew. She said, yes, it is. She lied. And Peter says, I hear the feet of the young men who've just buried your husband, and they will bury you. And she falls at his feet and dies. Same reason that Ananias died. Because she had lied to God. She had lied to the Holy Spirit. Is that harsh? I mean, I'm glad God is merciful. And he is, right? And long-suffering. But what had God just done? He'd given his son as a sacrifice. I give my son, I sell some property. There's a lot of difference in that. There's a lot of difference in that. But why did they lie about it? But God had given his son so that we can all have eternal life. And what does God desire? That we have eternal life, right? That's God's desire. So God's judgment is not unjust or harsh or mean or cruel. It is, here's people who knew the truth, who had opportunity, could make a decision and fell to the temptation of just making the wrong one. And so their justice was immediate. Their justice was immediate. I want this lesson to really be a downer, but I want it to be a reminder of us that how we live, how we treat God, matters. How we treat God. Intellectually, if I said, is it possible to lie to God? Oh no, we know God knows everything, right? But I'm going to tell you, deep down in us, we'll still try to cover things up and lie about it, right? I tried to watch a little bit of the television this morning about the political scenario that's going on. And those lawyers were in such contorted positions that it pained me. I just couldn't watch it anymore. Because we couldn't figure out what we said last week versus what we said this week. And I can't figure why some of them were involved in it anyway to start with. But it's just, it's painful to watch. Because it's hard to remember what the truth is. And I'm trying to get back to the truth, but I've already said this. So how do I? It's just painful. And I'm going to tell you, certainly since Richard Nixon, you don't have to have a doctorate in political science to know that the cover-up is worse than the crime, right? We all know that. But what are we all still doing? Covering up and lying, right? About almost everything. We know better, but we do it. We know better than to not be honest with God. But yet Satan will tempt us to do it. And there are consequences to sinning against God. There are consequences against sinning against God. And what's the effect of Ananias and Sapphira on the church? When they hear about it, they are afraid. I'd be afraid too. Wouldn't you? Let me tell you, let's put it in modern terms. We're not really big on doing this today, but let's say we did. We had somebody made a gift to the church that we were going to use, and we brought them up here to honor them for the gift that they had given, that they sold this property, and they've given it all to the church, and we're going to use it to do X, Y, Z, whatever that is. And all of a sudden, while we're honoring them, they drop dead. That will be a lasting impact, don't you think? That will be a day you won't forget. If you think McKinley Davenport shutting the door on himself is a memory you won't forget, this one will for sure forever stay on your mind. Well, that's what happened. I mean, let's just kind of put it in terms. Let's just don't say it's a story. I mean, in front of the group, that's what happens. And they rise. And the reason for this is they have lied. They could have done whatever they needed to do, wanted to do. It was freely theirs to give some, all, or none. Not the issue. But for their own glory, they lied to God. And that brings judgment. Scripture calls us to confess our sins, doesn't it? That the truth will make us free. It's painful to admit when we're wrong. It's just painful. I'd like to skirt around it. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? It's hard to say I'm wrong. Especially about something of any importance at all. And I'll be honest with you. We've gotten where we're not really accepting of people's wrong, doing wrong, being wrong. And we probably got to get a little better at that as a society and certainly as a church. And the reason I say that is almost now it's hard to admit that you've done something wrong if you're an official in business or politics or the church, because almost anything you've done wrong disqualifies you for everything, right? I mean, who's perfect? Cast the first stone. Now, does that excuse us? I'm not talking about excusing people's behavior, but if I've got to be perfect, guys, I got to quit. But we've got to be willing to admit our wrongs. Not only the little ones, but the large ones, in an appropriate way. But you can't cover those up. You can't harbor those in your hearts. But confess our sins and get that out. Because Ananias and Sapphira were proud and self-involved. And the Lord calls us to be humble, doesn't He? Pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty look before the fall. And I'm going to tell you something. That proverb is true. That's true. Now you can, if you've lived very long, you can see that from the time you're pretty young till today, how that happens. But the humility to come clean with God and say, I'm wrong. Is there forgiveness? There is. Because David found it, didn't he? I mean, if we had to look at those and say, here's David who committed adultery and murder. And here's some folks who lied about giving. But what was the difference? David had a heart of repentance, didn't he? David had a heart of repentance. Not one of cover up or of pride. But David, when confronted with his sin, repents of that and changes and is grieved by what he's done. The story about Ananias and Sapphira, it scared the church. It ought to scare us in a good way. Fear is an appropriate thing when it motivates us to know God calls us to be honest and to do right. And when we sin, and we all will, we have to be honest with God, don't we? We have to be honest with ourselves and honest with God. And seek God's truths and repent of that sin and change directions. Because if we don't, we can cover it for a while. It may not strike us dead immediately. May not affect our health, although I believe sin does. But all of us will stand before the judgment throne of the Lord. And we'll give an accounting for everything we've done. Openly, privately, loudly, quietly, we'll give an accounting. And so, here's the deal. Everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to know. I really think that our standing before God will be public. You know, I think it'll be public. So I think everybody's going to know. I'm not really excited about that. I'll be honest with you. I'm not, you know. Everybody's going to know. So what might we ought to go ahead and do? Just be honest about it, right? Be honest about it. Confess our sin. Say, Lord, I've done wrong. Lord, I've done wrong. Make amends where we can. And strive every day, to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. Be about God's business every day in every way. And not let Satan pull us away and say, you know, you've messed up, just keep it quiet. Or you've messed up, you can never be. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Don't let guilt hold us down, because Jesus died on the cross for us, didn't he? For murderers, for adulterers, for liars, for cheats, for those of us who are selfish and conceited and gossips. Jesus died on the cross for us. But God calls us out of that. God says, don't lie to me. Don't lie to yourself. I've called you out of that. I've given you a way out of the world into my glorious presence. All of us have a choice. All of us have a choice. But the most dangerous thing is for us to lie to ourselves and lie to God. We need to be honest with ourselves and honest with God, and then move to be all that God has called us to be. Because while God is merciful, God is just. And it's important that we know that. To fear the Lord, and then to understand His love for us and how great that is.